is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. I'm Jenny Nyman, and it's time for the Kenai Conversation. Municipal elections are coming up October 6th. Depending on where you live, you'll find candidates for the Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor, Assembly, City Councils, and Service Areas on your ballots. Today, we're going to hear from candidates for the School District Board of Education. There are four seats up for election: District 7, Central; District 6, East Peninsula; District 4, Soldotna; and District 3, Nikiski. The Eastern Peninsula seat is the only contested race. In District 7, Debbie Carey of Ninilchik is running unopposed for re-election. She's a restaurant owner, the Inlet View Lodge in Ninilchik. In her candidate statement, Debbie says, "Each of our students deserves the best education possible. We will need a strong relationship between students, teachers, parents, community, and administration to maneuver the unknown and come out a stronger district over the next few months, possibly years. There are many challenges facing our district moving forward: safety in schools, class size, method of instruction, content of instruction, and the ability to educate the whole child. With our focus not only on education, but also on the safety and mental wellness of our students, now is the time for strong leadership. Given the opportunity, I will commit to building strong relationships and guiding our district into the future." Here's Debbie Carey. So first off, you are running for re-election. Why do you want to serve another term on the board?
Because there's still a lot more that needs to be accomplished, and I think that working cohesively that we can accomplish it. We all have to realize that we're part of a team, and it takes time to accomplish things when you're working in slow mode, which is what it feels like sometimes.
And if you're reelected, what would your priorities be for the next term?
Priorities would be to develop and put into place plans or policies and procedures, because we don't actually develop as a board. We just give the guidance as to how to move forward with the hybrid learning that we're going to be experiencing. And then the negotiated contracts, which are coming up, and hiring a new superintendent. Actually, I'm really looking forward to the whole entire process. I'm on both the superintendent search committee, and I'm also on part of the interest-based bargaining team. So I'd like to see that through, and that's part of the reason that I'm putting my name back in the hat, is because those are projects that I'd like to see all the way through to the end.
Given that we are all trying to adjust to school in the time of COVID, what do you like about the district's Smart Start plan, and what do you maybe think the district could be doing better or differently?
What I like about the Smart Start plan is that we have a plan. We have something there that we can refer to instead of just shooting from the hip. Do we have all the kinks worked out? No, because nobody has ever been through something like this before. And I think that moving forward, as we get new information, as we see what works and what doesn't work, we have the ability to change the plan to meet the needs of everyone. That's students, teachers, staff, parents, communities. So that's both what I like about it and what I don't like about it. It's just the unknown. And how do you move forward?
Do you have any thoughts on ways the district could maybe start addressing some of those unknowns? Do you mean that as far as they need more detail in the plan, or do you mean just in terms of we don't know what's going to happen in the universe at any given time?
I think that as far as what we've done as far as what the Smart Start Plan Committee did. They did a wonderful job. They separated things into different categories. And as the knowledge evolves and as the community's input evolves, then that's where we'll start tweaking the plans and making things work a little better for both sides. I know that I get as many emails that say, "I love the plan," as I do that say, "I hate the plan." I get, we need to wear masks every day, every kid, and we should have a no mask requirement. And those are all things that have to be worked out. And the schools have to have the leeway to work them within their own schools, because not every school across the district is the same, obviously. We have schools that are very small and we have schools that are very large. And I think that what we really need to do is listen to the students and get their input. How do they feel? I know that I have a teenage daughter and she says the masks are no big deal. That they're adjusting, they're getting used to it. They're not super comfortable, but they'll do what it takes so that they can be in the classroom with the teachers, and that they want to keep the teachers protected as much as they want to keep themselves protected.
The district is obviously facing another lean year, and fund balance, unfortunately, isn't going to be able to cushion shortfalls forever. So if more cuts need to be made, where would you advocate doing that? And then the flip side will be, if there is some level of funding that's restored, what would be your priorities for spending that money?
Where would I advocate that we cut money?
If you absolutely had to make more cuts, I know the district has been doing that year after year after year. If you're in a position where more cuts need to be made, where would make the most sense for you? And then if either the borough or the state is able to restore some funding to the school district, where would you advocate that money be spent?
And to be perfectly honest in that, I do not advocate for cutting money anywhere. What I advocate for is for the state to step up and fund education the way that it was constitutionally put into the Alaska State Constitution. We continually see our services cut, and we see mandates put out there without funding. What I would like to see is our BSA increase, and I'd like to see us forward fund as a state, so that as a district, we have the opportunity to say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it, because we already know what our budget is for next year. If we absolutely have to cut, I've served for 3 years, and I cannot find any place else that we could cut from. I mean, I know that there's pools out there that are probably the next thing that would have to go. The theaters would have to go. Things that are not essential within the classroom, but they're essential within learning. So that for me is one of the toughest questions that could be asked, because I really don't think that we have any place left to cut.
If there is some level of funding that's restored to the district, where do you or how would you prioritize spending any additional funding that might come your way?
Additional teachers, additional staff as far as support staff. And I think that the mental wellness counselors that we are working toward hiring are essential, especially at the elementary level, because I think that if we could get a handle on some of the mental wellness at the lower levels, that when those students reach the high school level, they'll be better able to cope with life in general.
Where do you think the district is succeeding, and where do you think it could be doing better for kids?
Where are we succeeding? We're succeeding by providing an education to every student where they are. Where we could do better is to offer the same choices and chances and programs to every student across the district. I see that a lot of times our smaller schools, because of not only funding, but because of declining enrollment, that they're not offered some of the opportunities that are afforded to the larger schools. And I realize that it's a choice to live in the smaller communities, but a lot of people that have moved, that live in the smaller communities, have lived there for many, many years. And when they first started in the small communities, those things were offered. And I'm talking specifically about electives. I think every every school should have a music program of some sort. And I know that a lot of the small schools have zero music, that's one of the first things that are cut. So I think that's where we could do better. And I think that one of the other ways that we could do better is that when a student does something outside the school district, I think that we should have programs in place where we can vet activities and make sure that the students are receiving credit for what they're doing outside of the school. Perfect example would be if my student was to take guitar lessons. Is there a way that we could vet that program and say, oh yeah, that can apply toward a music program. That can apply toward a credit that you're going to need. And if they want to do higher, I know we have the Jumpstart program with the college and they get credit at both. And I think that we could expand that to other areas.
And then is there anything that you would want voters to know about you or anything else that you'd want to add?
I'm dedicated to working together, not independently. I think that it takes an entire village to raise a child, and I think it takes an entire village to move forward. And if there are questions or ideas, to please feel free to contact me. And that I look forward to working the next 3 years to accomplish the goals of the district and move us forward with a new superintendent in place, unfortunately. And that would be it.
That was Debbie Carey of Nanilchik running for re-election to the District 7 Central Peninsula seat on the Board of Education. Up next is Virginia Morgan of Cooper Landing. She was appointed to fill a vacant Eastern Peninsula seat last year, so she's running for a 2-year term. She's a lifelong Alaskan with degrees in music and elementary education. She's been on the Kenai Peninsula Borough Planning Commission since 2016 and the school board since October of last year. She's a piano teacher and assistant director of the Cooper Landing Community Library and worked as a 6th, 7th, and 8th grade teacher from 1998 to 2003. Virginia says she's been learning in KPBSD schools for most of her life as a student, elementary, and middle school teacher, volunteer, and as a parent, as well as a substitute teacher, secretary, aide, and custodian in large and small schools on the peninsula. She says she will draw from her experience and ability to build and strengthen relationships and inspire community engagement. Through her work with community and professional organizations, she's used grants and volunteers to address financial constraints and found an ability to build connections, create harmony, work well with others, and find consensus. Katie Hamilton of Moose Pass is also running for the District 6 seat. She is a business administrator with a bachelor's degree in elementary education. She was a 6th grade teacher before moving to Alaska, and she's been the business administrator for Soldotna Dental Arts and the Fjords Dental Clinic. In her candidate statement, Katie says, "Having experience as a local business administrator and elementary teacher, I will bring an understanding of finance to board policymaking, fight for appropriate school funding, advocate for transparency for taxpayers, and ensure school safety in the COVID-19 era. As a board member, my top priorities would be fiscal sustainability, to improve the opportunities available to each student while increasing community involvement, and to empower teachers." Katie did not respond to a request for an interview for this show, so we're only going to hear from Virginia.
First off, why do you want to be on the school board?
Well, I was appointed this past year, and so I've had a few months of being on the school board, and I am just very passionate about education. I was a teacher years ago before my children were born, and I have always worked in some capacity in education or libraries, piano teacher, I've community school programs. I'm just, education in general is a very important part of my life. So it means a lot to me to be involved in these decisions for our school district.
What would your priorities be for the next term?
Well, a big priority right now dealing with COVID is keeping our school staff and our students safe, as well as involved in school as is possible to do. And so the COVID is probably overlying everything, but there are a couple other big things coming up with the school board involvement that are big goals. And that is, one, Superintendent John O'Brien will be retiring from his position at the end of the school year. And so finding a new superintendent to carry on with our school district is a big priority right now. And so I'm currently involved in a subcommittee to help with that oversight search. And in addition to that, another big priority coming up for the school district is it is another contract year for principals, teachers, and support staff. And so getting through getting some contracts signed with all the unions is going to be another important challenge to complete this school year. So there's a lot of big things going on.
Given school in the time of COVID that we're facing right now, what do you think about the Smart Start plan? What do you like about it? And what do you think the district could maybe be doing better or different?
I do believe that our school district has a good plan. I look at it as always a work in progress. I feel like it's a fluid plan that's going to constantly be changing as information is changing, new information from the state, and it's flexible to deal with that as it comes. But I think it's a good framework. I think that the challenge in it has been there are so many different needs for so many different people, and trying to meet the most needs in the safest way possible is a challenge. I appreciate that the district is using the guidelines coming from the state as far as the risk levels, and knowing that plan and continuing forward with that. There is a medical board that has been created to help make some of those decisions about whether schools should be meeting in person or not, and to deal with the data as far as the numbers in our different areas of the peninsula. So I think all of that is very good. One thing I think that could be perfected is not knowing for sure what we're going to have dependent on numbers. I hope that we don't see a back and forth between remote learning and in-person learning. It's nice to have a chunk of time where we can focus one way or the other, dependent on what we have to do. But I would like to see some extended period of time focused, whatever way we have to go, dependent on how the numbers play out. I think that all the areas of safety have been addressed very well. I just think the people that are in charge of safety have really been looking carefully at the materials that are available for the schools, the interactions that are happening, the spacing, and there's a lot to deal with, and I know that new things are coming up all the time, but I feel like we've got a really great team of people who are really trying hard to make some very difficult decisions.
You know, the district is facing another lean year, and fund balance, unfortunately, isn't going to be able to cushion budget shortfalls forever. So if more budgetary cuts have to be made, what areas would you advocate cutting? And then in a happier future, if and when some funding is restored, what would be the priority areas that you would like to see funded?
I don't even know if I want to answer that question. Wow. You know, I have not yet been faced with that in my few months on the school board. And so I need to look at the budgetary figures to see where the numbers are. I know one of the things that came up in the past for cuts was some of the big issues were pools, and there's some things that we can't touch, like the health insurance and salaries. And so one of my big priorities to not cut is our small schools, because I feel like our smallest schools on the peninsula are what really make us part of the unique Alaska experience and across the water, and the smaller communities on the road system. And so I want to do everything I can to not touch those small schools. I know it's not a popular thing, but I know the utilities for pools are a really large expense, and I'd like to look more at finding some community partnerships that can help run those pools so that full expense is not falling on the school district. It's hard to give any hard answers here without looking at the actual budget line items.
So in a happier version of the future, if there is some funding restored to the district, what would be your priorities for spending that?
I'm a huge advocate for librarians and art teachers and music teachers. And that's one of the greatest losses I think that we've been seeing over past years is cuts in all three of those areas. And so in a perfect world or a happier future, I would love to see more of our certified librarians and music teachers and art teachers restored to the schools, especially to the elementary schools, because I think those are where we tend to lose them first.
And then last question, where do you think the district is doing well, and where do you think it could maybe be doing better for kids?
I feel like one of the district's strengths is the diversity of the school district with the 42 schools and the different varieties of schools that we offer in our district, and the different sizes, different types of learning, whether it's a charter school or connections homeschool program. I think that our district has done a good job of providing options and choices for families. So I'm not thinking about, well, what is the district not doing well? If I don't think in that frame of mind, but I think of a problem that I see in the district that I feel like we need to figure out a solution. One of the biggest challenges I think that we've been dealing with in the past few years that is greatly increased now because of COVID is we have a lack of substitutes for our schools, and that substitute teachers and all the support staff positions. I think especially custodians and nurses are probably one of the harder ones. There's not a lot of people available to substitute, and with COVID, I think that the pool is becoming smaller because of a lot of times we have retired staff members who want to come back and sub, and they have health concerns now and are not sure they want to be in the buildings. And so that is one of the issues that I have been continually trying to work on during the time I have been a school board member, is finding solutions to help get more substitutes available for our staff who need to be out of the building for whatever reason, they get sick or for professional development or just need to take a day off for another reason.
Is there anything that you want to add?
I'm a lifelong Alaskan and I love the state dearly, and I want to do anything I can to make this a place that my children and future generations have the best education available to them, and
oh, this is me doing my part.
That was Virginia Morgan of Cooper Landing, running for the District 8 Eastern Peninsula seat on the Board of Education. Jason Torianen is running unopposed for re-election to the District 3 Nikiski seat. He's a paramedic firefighter in Nikiski and was a paraprofessional at Nikiski Middle High School for 12 years. He graduated from Nikiski Middle High School and has degrees in biblical literature and paramedic services, and he's also served on the Borough Planning Commission. Jason says, "I know how important our schools are to the fabric of our community. I will do my best to represent the students, parents, and educators of my community and KPBSD as a whole. As a paramedic, I bring knowledge and training to lend insight to the current pandemic that the school district is facing. I will work hard to support the wishes of the parents, teachers, and students in District 3, utilizing current science and research to provide equal educational opportunities for our students."
General question, just to start off with, why are you interested in being reelected to the board?
Well, I'm just passionate about our public education, and I have kids in school. I have a wife that's a teacher, and I worked for the district for 15 years, and I graduated from Nikiski Middle High School, and I'm just passionate about our school district and public education in general. And I believe it's an important part of the fabric of our society that helps bind our community together and helps give all kids equal access to educational opportunities to help them, you know, rise to their potential.
And if you're reelected, what would your priorities be for the next term?
Priorities for next term is selection of a superintendent that fits the needs of the district and our community and the peninsula, somebody that fits what we want to do and what the people of the Kenai Peninsula Borough would like for a superintendent, because that's going to be one of our biggest priorities. The other priority right now, obviously, is response to COVID, which, you know, I've been documented as striving to try to have kids in school. And I'm going to be asking for us to do our best to keep it that way, to where kids stay in school as much as possible, unless medical experts feel like it should not take place or kids need to be in remote, which I think should be a rare situation. And then I've been an advocate for a 4-day school work week for my whole time, and it's something that we're hoping to get on the docket to have discussed and go out to staff and community and see if it's something that fits well for our district and will help enhance education opportunities, build staff morale, and save money as well.
What do you like about the district Smart Start plan, and what do you think the district could maybe be doing better?
So I feel like overall, initially, I was actually a little hopeful and positive about the Smart Start plan, and I did vote to approve it or to recommend it for approval for administration to use as a plan going forward. Now that I've seen the math on how it works out, I feel like the numbers are way too low to determine whether to be in school or not be in school, especially when you consider the risk to students. As you know, we've done over 300,000 tests with somewhere about 1.9%, don't quote me exactly on the numbers, is what our positive test rate is. And again, those aren't individual people. A lot of those are retests, but still, that's a pretty small number of positive cases. And then out of that, 0 to 18, only 0.2% of 0 to 18 has spent time in the hospital in any way, none of them on a vent, and none of them have died. And so the risk to kids is incredibly small, almost statistically negligent and negligible. And I feel like the risks of them not being in school are far greater than the risks of COVID to kids. So I feel like we have to do everything we can to help protect those that are vulnerable, those with comorbidities, those that are older, that are up in age, usually in the 70s and above. And these are all things that can be bore out with statistics. But we're seeing a rise in suicide and mental health issues in students. And because of a lot of our responses to this, and school is a way to help mitigate and help with that kind of thing. And so I think it's very important for kids to be in school. So with that being said, I know I rambled a little bit on that. Green is fine. Yellow, I really liked yellow, and I thought we were going to be going between green and yellow when this first started. But it looks like we're going to be more going between yellow and red. So that's very disruptive on homes and kids, and a lot of kids are not getting the education that they need or deserve. And so I think that the red needs to be modified to where medical experts really, I think, at the state level that feel like our hospital capacity is being overwhelmed should make the decision for us to go to remote learning, and that red should just mandate all the recommendations that are in yellow, because yellow is really flexible. And so if we move into red, we just mandate all the social distancing and all the other requirements in yellow, but keep kids in school, and then give the option to go remote if DHHS, Dr. Zink says, we need to do something here because we're starting to see hospital capacity be impacted. So that's my opinion on that. I know that was a very wordy, but it's hard for me to explain it without being wordy.
It's a tough issue, and there's a lot going on in that one. And then speaking of tough issues, moving on to the budget. School district is facing another lean year, and, you know, fund balance isn't going to be able to cushion shortfalls forever. Two-part question. If more budgetary cuts have to be made, where would you see those happening? And then if some level of funding is restored, what would be your priority areas to restore funding?
So I think that one of the changes that we can make immediately that would minimally impact programs in the schools would be to move to a four-day school week, because we can get the cuts aren't massive with a four-day school week, but they are cuts, and they would be cuts that wouldn't be felt with increased pupil-teacher ratios or cuts to programs. So we would be able to keep everything that we have and just add a little bit of time to each day and then reduce one work day, which would reduce some costs and cut our budget a little bit to help us not have to make other cuts. And so the reality is, if we're not able to keep our funding, flat funding, or to get more funding, because 75% or more of our budget is payroll, and the rest of our budget, a lot of that's tied up in the regular building costs and things of that nature, it's hard to do things without changing the pupil-teacher ratio. My goal is to try to do that as little as possible and to advocate for, at a minimum, flat funding, which still means a cut, or to request more funding to help us try to get out of this mess to where we don't have, because we won't have fund balance left, so we're going to have to do something if we don't end up seeing a rise in the BSI, or base student allocation. So advocacy for extra funding, 4-day school week is my first priority. Advocacy for extra funding to try to mitigate this. And then at that point, then it's try to do our best to find some savings to in other areas that we can. And then the reality is it will have to meet with a change in the pupil-teacher ratio, because that's where the majority of our expenses are.
And in the situation that funding is restored to the district, where would you like that to go?
I would like to see it go to an increase in some of our vocational program spending, and then I would like to see it go into fixing a lot of deferred maintenance we have and issues we have in our district. So I think we do a pretty good job overall of college prepping our students. I mean, there's arguments that can be made curriculum-wise and instruction style-wise, but we have the resources right now in place to continue with a good college prep program. We seem to, when we have to make cuts, a lot of times those cuts come out of PE, which I also think is incredibly important. for the health of our society and the cost that health problems from obesity and diabetes end up, how they impacts our medical system. So increased spending in health and public education and in vocational programs would be where I would love to put money if money wasn't the problem.
Where do you think the district is succeeding, and where do you think it could be doing better for kids?
So I think the district succeeds in providing a safe place and working hard to build relationships with kids, to just to teach life lessons, and I think and to have a safe place for kids to bond with teachers and with their peers. I think that we do a good job overall with our instruction, but I feel like we can improve because I sort of believe in a more traditional model. And so utilizing some of the lessons we've learned in some of our charter schools with potential changes to our curriculum that would meet things that where we've seen some successes in other areas across the district, I think those things need to be evaluated. I know some of the arguments for that is that, you know, those are kids that have selected and to put them in school, so education is a bigger factor. But I don't think that we can dismiss the style of education or the curriculum that's also had a part to play in the success, educational success of some of our charter schools. And so I think we could focus strongly on making sure those basics are taught and that kids aren't moved forward without having that base, that solid ground under them of being able to read and write by a certain age, and just really focusing everything we can. We do have a lot of things in place for that, but I feel like we can still improve.
Okay. Anything that you would like to add?
I guess I'll say I appreciate people's support for me in the last election, and I know that right now I'm running unopposed, but I do appreciate people's support. If they ever need to get a hold of me, they're welcome to check in with me anytime and with concerns or questions or things that they're interested in. And I'm always here to help advocate for my community and try to do what's best for our kids.
That was Jason Torianen running unopposed for re-election to the District 3 Nikiski seat on the school board.